She doubts it's an accident. I followed Lincoln through the Presidio and past the Crissy Field overlook toward the bridge as Conklin called Brady and told him we were answering Claire's call. He phoned Claire and said we were about 8 minutes out, then picked up where he left off, asking my advice on his romantic dilemma.
"It's Tina's birthday. We've been together for 2 months," he said. "So what do I get her that means, I like you a lot so far?"
This line of conversation was tricky. Rich is like a younger brother to me. We're tight. We talk about everything. But his ex-girlfriend Cindy is my homegirl. And Cindy was still suffering from their breakup 6 months ago. She hadn't given up hope that she and Richie could get back together. To tell the truth, I was hoping for that too. I kept my eyes on the road, staying on Lincoln, a two-laner flanked by historic buildings on the left and a parking lot on the right for visitors to the bridge. We drove slowly past the nifty old houses on Pilot's Row and then hit a wall of traffic.
"Looks like we're walking," I said.
I braked on the shoulder, turned on the flashers, grabbed my windbreaker, and locked up. Then my partner and I started up the incline. Richie didn't miss a beat.
"So I was thinking I'd get her a pair of earrings. Or does the ring in earring send too much of a message?"
"Not unless they're diamonds," I said.
"Ha," said Conklin.
I said, "Rich, in my humble opinion, you and Tina are at Flowers and Dinner. That's safe, sweet, and her mother won't send out invitations."
"Okay. And do I sign the card love or not?"
I couldn't help it. I rolled my eyes and threw a sigh. "Richie, do you love her or don't you? You have to figure that one out." He laughed.
"Could you stop giggling?" I said.
He gave me a salute and said,
"Yes, ma'am, Sergeant Boxer, ma'am. And could you put in for a sense of humor?"
"You're asking for it," I said. I gave him a little shove and he laughed some more, and we kept walking up the incline, passing cars that were inching forward and passengers who were getting out, shouting curses into the fog. My cell phone rang again. Claire said,
"Hurry up, okay? I can't hold off the damned bridge authority much longer. The tow truck is here."
2. The scene was surreal, and I don't use the term lightly. From what I could see, a late-model red Jeep had lost control in the outside northbound lane and then careered across 5 lanes before hitting the walkway barrier and slamming into the railing, which was bulging to accommodate the Jeep's front end. All but 1 lane had been closed, and a narrow ribbon of traffic was open to alternating northbound and southbound traffic that crawled past the Jeep, which was swallowed by fog up to its taillights. Law enforcement vehicles were haphazardly parked on the roadway. Bridge Authority SUVs, fire department, CHP vehicles, black and whites, and personnel to match were all clumped up around the Jeep. I saw people I knew from the ME's office shooting pictures of the accident. A traffic cop heaved over the railing. At the same time, a tow truck was pulling into position to remove the Jeep in prep for reopening the road, the only thoroughfare between San Francisco and Sausalito. A Bridge Authority uni checked out our badges and called out,
"Dr. Washburn, you got company."
Claire came out from behind her van, shaking her head, and said,
"Hey, you guys, welcome to some kind of crazy. Let me give you the tour."
She looked worried, and as we closed in on the Jeep, I saw why. The windshield had exploded outward, the front end was crushed accordion style, and as I peered into the passenger compartment, my scalp actually crawled. I've seen a lot of gruesome scenes in my 14 years in homicide, and this one vaulted to the top of the most gruesome list. I mean, number one. 2 adults, white male in the driver's seat, white female in the passenger seat, both looked to be in their late teens or early 20s. Their arms were akimbo and their heads thrown back, mouths open in silent screams. But what drew my attention directly were the victim's midsections, which were gaping, bloody holes. And I could see where the blood and guts had gone. The driver's side was plastered with bits of human debris mixed with fragments of clothing and other detritus I couldn't identify. 1 airbag was draped over the steering wheel. The other covered the passenger from the thighs down. Claire said,
"We've got blood and particles of human tissue stuck all over everywhere. We've got damage to the seat belts and the dashboard and the instrument panel, and that's a button projectile stuck in the visor.